You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's September 28th, 2024, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. Today, we're wrapping up my conversation with Santa Monica Studios Creative Director Corey Barlog. This conversation took place in May of 2018, just a few short weeks after the release of God of War, which would turn out to be one of the most successful games of the PlayStation 4 generation. It's great to hear him talk about the ways in which being a father influenced the story of Kratos and Atreus. After the conversation, I was left with the impression that Corey was a very down-to-earth and nice guy. He was really pleasant to talk to. So he was so nice to take time out of what was clearly a very busy time for him to talk with someone who was, you know, let's be honest, pretty small potatoes in the world of games, media, and content creators. So I was very grateful for that. And then about a month later, I was at E3 and happened to bump into Corey, who was with Danielle Bisuti, who plays Freya in the game. And I got a chance to talk to them in person and thank him for doing the interview. And he was just as nice in person as he was on the phone call. So I hope you enjoy part two of my talk with Corey Barlog. Again, I apologize for the quality of the audio here. It was all done over the phone in my car, so I tried my best to make it presentable. I promise the next time that I get to interview one of the most prominent creators in gaming, I'll bring my laptop to work for recording. Enjoy the show.
My son is 5 and a half. His name is Hilo.
Oh, nice, cute. Does he play a lot of other video games?
He is a Trainiac, so he pretty much plays one game on the iPad, and that is the Brio wooden train set game. I don't know. I think it's just called like Brio Train World, and it's basically a digital recreation of having the giant wooden Brio train sets.
Right.
And that pretty much is his jam. When he's not playing that, he wants us to take him on subway trains and high-speed trains and commuter trains.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
so awesome. He is wickedly obsessed with the train and Peppa Pig, but, you know, trains mostly.
Trains and pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned a minute ago how parenthood kind of inspired the story for the game. Are there any other ways that you know, being a father has changed kind of your approach to how you look at game design compared to your earlier work?
I would say that on many days, not all days, I am a bit more measured and reflective in my decision making.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shaman had pointed this out and said it has calmed you down a little bit. So apparently I was a little hyper, a little crazy at times. The earlier games, we had made these comparisons to the fact that the earlier games were like our mellowed me out. Maybe that was the word that she used, mellowed me out. But they had been more like our college years. So the,
sure.
You know, the drive behind it was to top what we did before, to top what people's expectations are, and kind of thumb our nose at the man who says that we can't do it, right?
Right.
So we spent a lot of time We spent a lot of time really just challenging other people, I think. And as a director and as a writer, it was less about me understanding the characters. Even though I thought I understood him, it took me working with a lot of other people to realize, like, wow, I do not understand anything. and that's okay. I mean, that's the good thing is once you actually free yourself from thinking you have to know everything, you actually start learning so much more. Like, I feel like I'm better every single day because I go into every day going, I have no clue what I'm talking
about. Right. We're all just learning as we go.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that a huge aspect of fatherhood was the fact that there's no freaking manual, which is not some real revelation, you know, that's new. It's just more like, oh, okay, cool. I don't know what I'm doing, right? And when you go home for the first time and you're the one that put that car seat in and there's this, you know, like baby that's like a week old or less than a week old, and you're going to put that baby in the car seat that you yourself installed and you have no clue what the hell you're doing, there is a true understanding of you kind of have to either give in to the universe just a little bit and recognize that, okay, things are going to be all right. People have been doing this for hundreds of years, millions of years. But, like, what you don't know is not a reason to stop, right? What you don't know is not a reason to not move forward or doubt yourself. It's simply just to say, move forward, make your mistakes, right?
Right.
Be smart.
Yeah, I know. I learned early on that no matter how many books you read, no matter how much advice you get, you have no idea what you're in store for, and you know, you just kind of roll with it. You just keep going, and it'll all be okay. But you just kind of have to, like I said, just learn as you go.
Yeah, and then it honestly, every child is JJ's mystery box. There's no two children that are the same. Every one of them comes with their own unique set of challenges, right?
Yeah.
And that is honestly the perfect metaphor for the creative process. Because every project is its own mystery box. It has its own unique set of challenges and human beings and labyrinthian hallways that you have to navigate to try to figure out how to get to the end. Because it doesn't matter if you know that your destination is straight ahead to the north, you know, 500 miles. That will not be the path you take. You will go the most circuitous, winding, bizarre, unusual path, and even if you end within spitting distance of what your original destination was, it doesn't look anything like you thought it would. And that's good.
Yeah. So now that, you know, like you said, the development is over and you're wrapping up kind of the PR end of things, do you plan on kind of jumping right back in, or are you and the family going to take a little time? And
oh, yes, we're going to take some time, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm working until the end of the month, and then, you know, they come back. Everything's done with all of our house drama, and I actually can get some restful sleep, because right now I'm sleeping while people are hammering on the walls and all this stuff. It's just horrible.
That sounds easy, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally stressful. And then, you know, but even more stressful is, you know, getting, you know, my wife and son back so that we are all together and then spend a good few months, you know, hanging out, most likely riding trains. You know, I want to get bored. There's things that we're going to do, but I think we've all traveled a lot over this last, you know, half a year. So I think we're going to have the best staycation ever. And then I hopefully will play some games and, you know, just reacquaint and then, yeah, most likely dive back in and figure out how we're going to make our next moves. Because I really, you know, to me, Santa Monica, I feel like it's part of my legacy, right? And I'm part of its legacy. We are intrinsically tied together. And I really do feel like what we've done is take step one of many.
Right.
If you believe the internet, it's five steps beyond, because they say
I've heard that. That was interesting.
It really was just the thought exercise that I ineloquently put of saying, like, when I think about stories, I think about it five in advance so that I can pepper the fifth story's concept into the current story.
Right.
Now, do I have five games ready? Not really. I have a certain number, but that's not five.
Right. Never underestimate the internet's ability to latch onto a fairly innocent quote and blow it up into something.
Right. Yeah, the guy who was doing the interview was just like, he's like, I just don't get it. He's like, that's Twitter.
That's
just how it is. He's like, it's clear that you don't say that in the interview, but Twitter just takes its own thing. And it was like Twitter Mentions, which I think is just like a robot. right? Like, I don't know if that's even like a human behind that, but it's like Twitter mentions India and Twitter mentions, you know, Malaysia. All of a sudden it just like spread everywhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just an artificial intelligence.
It's like Skynet. I feel like Skynet, like I'm part of the Skynet lineage now. When John Connor goes down, they're going to be like, dude, do you remember that Twitter mentions where he said five games? That's messed up.
Well, before I let you go, I usually like to give people I talk to an opportunity to brag a little bit and ask them, you know, what they are most proud of when it comes to, you know, being a parent, being a father. What has been your proudest moments?
Oh, wow.
I know it's hard to pick just one.
Yeah, I mean, it's
probably
my wife does so much. She is the most unbelievably patient, most like interminably caring person, right? And our son is amazing and has his own challenges, right? He's being language immersed. So my wife is Swedish.
Sure.
And she speaks Swedish completely to him during the day, and then in the evening I speak English with him. And, you know, he was sort of said to have a language delay and has some issues sort of relating to people a little bit, but she has just been tireless in her sort of dedication to him and kind of working with him. And I wish I personally could take some of the credit for any of this stuff, but the reality is she is truly the superhero of this entire story, because when they were in Sweden for those last 4 months, he has blossomed in a way that is just has given me nothing but joy and pride to see, and a little bit of sadness because I'm not there. But I mean, he is singing songs, making songs up and singing them, right, in Swedish.
That's so great.
He is telling stories in Swedish. He is reenacting things in Swedish. He is becoming the full human that I think was something he was struggling with, because nobody in our neighborhood here speaks Swedish. So it's probably odd for him to feel that when mom and him talk, like, that, you know, everyone else is kind of looking at them strangely.
Sure.
I would say if there was one moment, and I don't know if I did anything for this, but it is a moment that ended up in the game as well, was the first time he ever told me he loved me unprompted, you know, because it, you know, for the longest time it was part of the sort of language discussions we would have of like telling him, you know, Papa loves you. You say I love you too, Papa. Like it would be back and forth, and it would feel more like we were just prompting him to help him understand what the social interactions were and what they meant. And the first time he said it was really amazing and hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I just broke down at that point. It was really amazing. And it ended up, again, affecting me so much that there is a moment in the game in which you haven't gotten to, in which initially there was silence. And, you know, it was like, oh, I think this is the time he needs to say that he loves his mother, like that he's never said it, right? And it was just such like an impactful moment for me that I was like, all right, well, I think it's really good. And a few people were like, oh, I don't know, I think the silence is better, and we put it in, and it actually, for me, again, every time I play it, I get to that moment and I just sob uncontrollably, because it is such a strong sense memory for me. But several other people have actually even responded in a similar fashion, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And there's so much of that. It's like it is a difficult game for me to play, which it's like the weirdest experience I've had in development, in that so many of these moments are personal, and even if they're not personal, it's like I hear these beautiful stories from some of the writers, so I would feel connected to the story simply because I understand its lineage. So every time I reach these moments, I'm just sort of an emotional mess, right? And it's like trying to imagine, like, you know, I mean, I'm in video game development, and I'm playing through this game that I'm making, and it's making me sob, right? Which, I don't know, it's surreal for me to imagine that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. I mean, again, congratulations on the game. It's amazing from what I've played so far. Hopefully I'll get a chance to wrap it up soon, but it's a tremendous work of art, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this special bonus episode of Midlife SideQuest. I thought that it would be a fun way to celebrate 10 years of being a content creator and to look back at one of my absolute favorite moments from the past decade. Thank you also to Corey. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had as much fun looking back at this again as I did. Remember that you can catch regular episodes of the show Thursday mornings wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. And you can follow me on Threads by looking for Midlife SideQuest if you'd like to chat after the show. Tomorrow I'm jumping on a plane to Tokyo. So the show will return on October 17th. And I can't wait to tell you all about that trip. So look forward to that episode. And until then, be well and happy gaming.